Little mix up on the show today. This guest is one of maybe a handful that has reached out and asked to come on the podcast, and they're someone we actually were interested in having on. Iowa volleyball senior to be Bailey Ortega joins the show today. We love mixing it up with the other sports from the University of Iowa. We haven't had a volleyball player until now. Bailey did not disappoint. Please enjoy this episode. Sit back, relax. Let's have a day. Let's go. Thought about asking about that too. welcome back. This is the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast. Interesting, fun one today, I hope. I don't know what episode this is, but today we're branching out, which I think was this specific guest's goal, because this guest reached out to us. Bailey Ortega joins us from the Iowa volleyball team today. Bailey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm well. Do you ever take pre-workout?
I don't. I mean, I drink energy drinks. I don't take pre-workout.
I took a pre-workout like 2.5 hours ago, and I'm still feeling like the itchy skin feeling. So I'm amped right now.
what happened to Mr. I'm anti-caffeine?
Just in the pre-workout.
That's the same.
It's the same thing. Caffeine.
It's not different enough. I'm not anti-caffeine. It's just for a long time I never had any. Anyway, Grant, let's derail us right off the bat here. We've had wrestlers, we've had basketball players, we've had back when the sports got cut, we had a swimmer, a diver, a male gymnast. We're branching out today to Iowa volleyball for the first time, Bailey. You're breaking down walls, breaking barriers.
I love it.
How do you feel about that?
I love it. I think
are you that kind of person?
I try to be. Yeah, I think that Iowa volleyball isn't talked about enough. And I think that the state of Iowa has a really great following for volleyball. So I want Hawkeye volleyball to get a bigger following and just get talked about more. I think that it's a lot easier to win and play better when you got a crowd of people behind you, but when the stands are empty, it's a little bit tougher to get those big wins against
Big Ten. That's for sure. You reached out to us.
Yes.
Which is cool. I love that. So like very proactive. And like, I wish we had hundreds of people reaching out like, hey, can I be on your show? Ones that I actually care to bring on, like you, Iowa athletes, because scheduling people is a real son of a bee. But it's sort of bold, for you to like, I don't know how much you know
about two people that have done that since I've been here. Two people. Yeah. And one of them's Luca Garza's dad.
Yeah.
You can go ahead.
It's almost impressive. I don't know who you are. Obviously we've never met, but like, and I don't know how much you know about our show, but we're like three dudes. We have Grant now. He brings us kind of back down to earth. He's very humble and kind, but like, we're like three dudes who are like, if you didn't know who exactly we are, or maybe even if you do, we're like just bros, right? Like, we're just like 28-year-old dudes who are former football players. I just don't see or imagine a lot of female college age girls asking to be on our show, if that makes sense. So when you reached out, I was like, holy shit, okay, let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, I had initially heard about your podcast. So I'm a sport and rec management major.
Okay.
And one of my professors, Packy, was talking about how you guys are like one of the top Iowa sports podcasts. And then everyone in our class was like, oh yeah, I listen to them. And I looked around and I was like, I've never.
Top two, not two, Bailey.
Oh, okay. There. I was like, I've never heard of it. So then I looked you guys up and started like looking at some of your videos and watched and listened. And I was like, why have I not tried to be on this?
I love it.
So walk-ons is in the curriculum though now at Iowa?
It was talked about by one of my professors, because we were like talking about podcasting and how like NIL is getting incorporated in that and the power of podcasting and sports.
Yeah. We're not in the curriculum grant, but funny enough,
it sounded like it was, but
we might be moving that way. We might
there
be.
There is a podcasting class in the SRM, and I took it last semester. I did my own podcast. And so, I mean, it's growing.
I was reached out to 3 weeks ago by one of the, what were they called? Like the guy, not guidance counselors, but, like your, the person who helps you on campus within your major schedule classes each
like advisor,
not financial advisor, your academic advisor. Yeah. I was reached out to by one of them inside of the sport rec management program about potentially doing some things, or like coming in and talking to classes. So
is it Grant, Professor Kluver coming this fall?
You know, I'm going to wear this cutoff here and walk in and tell everybody how to talk on a microphone. So that is cool. I would not have expected you to hear about us again, sort of not our demographic, but very cool that you reached out. I personally would love to shed light on volleyball. I have my wife is coaches volleyball. I told you on Instagram that we were just at Nationals in Chicago this past weekend.
Yeah.
So I have immersed myself into the world of volleyball over the past like 3 to 4 years, still learning a lot about it. But, you know, I like 6'2", 5'1". I can like give you some lingo.
That's impressive. That's impressive.
Right. Like,
is that height? You just average height.
That's like volleyball player. That's the system you run, Grant.
Okay.
And it's speaking to how many setters you have.
Okay.
Which is important because Bailey here happens to be a setter.
That is me.
And he's a setter. And do you guys run a 5'1" or a 6'2"?
We do a little bit of both. It depends on the team we're up against, and it depends on how like us as setters are doing. So I've ran a 5'1", I've ran a 6'2", I've ran a 5'2", like done a little bit of everything.
Cool. That's exciting. So anyway, you reached out, you're like, hey, let's get a volleyball player on the podcast. And I was like, hell yeah, let's do it. So Bailey's here. You are probably in the middle of, I think when we went to schedule this, you guys are working out like 9 to noon in the morning.
Yeah, we have workouts 4 days a week. So we'll just have weights in the morning, 4 days a week. And then we have like open gym as a team 2 times a week. And then we have what we call gym open, where it's just the gym is open if you want to go in and get some reps on your own the other 2 days. So 4 days
which
a week.
Which is like, it's like, you don't have to go, but
yeah,
you do go though. Cause if you don't, then all your teammates are like, what are you doing? So you basically, that's cool. Gym open, open gym, gym open. Cool.
Yeah. So open gym is like, we're doing drills and we can get coached by our coaches.
I was just going to say coaches are not a part of that.
No. So we only get 19 days with our coaches before we have our first competition.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Are they even in the gym while you are at open gym?
They can be. No.
Wow.
So the other crazy thing is like, we can't even bring film to them. So if we like record practice and I bring it to my coach and I'm like, hey, he can't even watch my film. Like they can't coach us at all summer until August 7th.
I don't understand that.
We've been trying to get it changed at the NCAA level for the past like 3 years, and it continues to get tabled. So
football is similar. Like you can't hold, I don't know the exact rules. You can't hold a practice, but like coaches were there during our summer conditioning workouts.
Yeah.
And would watch. And then we would do like a non-padded, what we would call skills and drills, where you went out and you did work with a football, like in front of a coach, with the coach. So I don't know why that would be different for volleyball. Again, this maybe goes back to what we were talking about before we hopped on the show, is like football gets everything first. And then,
well, it's the same, like men's and women's basketball have hours with their coaches too. So that's been one of our arguments, is like, they're a winter sport and they get summer hours, but we're a fall sport and we don't get summer hours.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you guys start right then. You're the same season as football. So I don't know why 19 days doesn't seem like a lot. So you guys really have to make the most of that then.
Yeah. I mean, it's also, I guess looking on the more positive side of not having our coaches is it's really nice to like build a better team connection, and you're building leaders and like your captains are running practice. Like, so in that sense, it does build some team chemistry. But again, with, like for our team this year, we have 7 newcomers. So it would be great. It'd be great if our coaches could come in, but instead they're looking at us returners and upperclassmen to help them, which again is a good thing, but also would love to have our coaches in the gym.
You guys only have like 16 people on a team?
Yeah, this year we have 17, I think. Max roster is 18.
And 7 are new?
Yes.
Wow. What's the reason here? I know that, and again, this is part of our reason why you're on here. Iowa volleyball has had some turnover, both coaching and player-wise, a little bit over the past few years. Is that a product of that, or did it just happen that there were some older players? Did COVID factor into that with the COVID year? What's that look like?
Yeah, so we had a couple players who had a COVID year and are using it elsewhere or just aren't using it. Mm-hmm. We had 2 people transfer out after this spring. And so with the combination of that, then we have 5 freshmen and 2 transfers that are coming in. So,
That's crazy.
Transfers are kind of the thing, though, for Iowa volleyball, it feels like. Well, because I feel like you guys had a lot last year, then now it sounds like more this year.
Yeah, we had 7 transfers at this time last summer. And now we have 2. But the 2 that we have coming in are redshirt freshmen, which is nice because last year, since we were like really rebuilding, just trying to get numbers, we did take a lot of like older girls on like their 4th and 5th years. So that is the bonus of these transfers, is that they are on the younger side. So they'll be at Iowa much longer.
And last year was... Go ahead, Grant.
I was saying, is this just Coach Barnes is like a big portal guy? Is this kind of like his thing? Was that normal before? Is he just bringing everyone in?
I don't think he tries to be a portal guy. I think it's just where are the players that can benefit the team.
Okay.
He came from... Tulane. Yeah, and did he bring a couple of the girls from there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he brought 2 girls from Tulane with him.
Okay, cool.
Anna Davis is a friend of the show.
Wait, no, really? She's a friend of you. She's not a friend of the show.
Well, I mean,
he brought Anna Davis and then Michelle Urquhart. So Michelle saw a lot of court. I'm pretty sure she saw the court every single game. She started like every single game for us. She was amazing. And then Anna ended
up having, outside.
Michelle's an outside, yes. Yeah. And then Anna's a middle. She ended up having an ACL injury and surgery, but she is back and better than ever. So she's back training, and we'll have her this season.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So you guys have like this, outside of the 7 freshmen, the other 10 probably feel like those are like kind of deep and established then. Maybe.
I mean, maybe not deep and established. I think we definitely have like a little bit of confidence with us because we are returning. We know the system. We know the coaches, especially those of us who have like seen a Big Ten game, because the Big Ten is really just an entity in itself with volleyball.
Yeah.
So I think it's a sense of confidence, but it's also nice because since we have that confidence, we aren't as threatened to help the newcomers. Like we're confident in our ability. We're confident in what we can do, and we're confident in what we bring to the team. Mm. And I think that's the best part about it, is we can help the newcomers, and then whoever's going to benefit the team and get us the wins is going to be on the court. And I think we'll all be okay with whoever that is.
I think that's an issue that is cross sport, in college, probably everywhere, where you have, I think I heard this early on in my freshman or sophomore year. It's like, you're being recruited, and then the minute you step into the program, they're already recruiting your replacement. And it's just the way it is, probably really at every level, but especially at the Division I level, where everyone is trying to compete at the tip top. And that can be threatening for players who are not confident in their ability. They're not confident in the role that they have on the team, which in turn creates a behavior pattern of those players to not help the younger players. Yep. And it can, which is a culture issue, right? And so it's a weird sort of dynamic. So the fact that you guys feel confident, like, and not threatened, and a lot of time that's just ego. But have you seen a lot of that or experienced a lot of that in your 4 years, or just have seen that from other people? Have you guys been pretty good about that?
I think it's hard for it not to be an issue, you know, like I mean, I've felt that way before I like really worked on myself and my confidence. Like I've absolutely felt that way when people come in. It's hard not to feel that way. Like you work so hard and then all of a sudden you think it's being taken away from you. Like it's never a good feeling as a college athlete when you dedicate all this time to your sport and stuff like that happens. But I do think over the years that Iowa volleyball's culture has definitely been up and down, and we've been trying to figure it out. And I think it's hard because in every single year and every single like team and teammate I've had, like we have spurts of it. Mm-hmm. It's just finding consistency in our culture that I think has been the biggest thing with Iowa volleyball. So I think we're finally settling in, like now that COVID's over, we've had springs to actually work as a team. We have consistent returners. Like it's a lot easier to build a consistent foundation for what we want our culture to be moving forward.
Yeah. COVID certainly didn't help. That was tough. And did you come in right when that started?
So I graduated high school early, actually. So I was here in January 2020. I was here. I moved up, moved into the dorms, was here for a month and a half, and then got sent home.
That's so trash.
Yeah, the even worse part about it is one of the reasons I graduated early was because we were supposed to go to Brazil and Peru that summer. I still have yet to go on a foreign tour with Iowa because we haven't been able to plan it and get the money for it since then.
I was supposed to go to, personal anecdote, I was supposed to go with my wife's family to Greece that summer, and that didn't happen. I know, yeah. Tough one. My sister-in-law was going to study abroad for her last semester, and that obviously got shut down. So tough one for us and a lot of people. So you walk into the program, you were there for 8 weeks, and then just... I mean, what was that like? You guys went to virtual meetings. You guys are like probably back in your high school gyms, like you're setting into a wall or something like that.
Well, it was crazy because initially when we had left for like spring break.
Sure.
And so all of us were like, oh, like we'll be back. And then the world got turned upside down. And then I was like, meet on Zoom next week. So we would do like yoga on Zoom as a team. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was fun. We did a lot of, definitely to be creative, but yeah, going right back to my high school gym. I mean, it was easy for me since I had just been there, but it was for sure different than I thought it would be, especially after me finally being in a college gym for a couple of weeks and then getting yanked from it. So.
Yeah, that's tough. That's, my brother was on the football team for a couple of years. He had the exact same thing happen. He rolled in that same, that semester of 2020, worked out, went through like a tough 8 weeks of lifting and all that. And then it was like, all right, well, basically they came back in like June. I was like, okay. And then even then, I'm sure you guys had all the same stuff, testing every day, quarantining. If someone was like in contact with you, it's just like, that's so annoying.
Yeah. And it was crazy because at the time we thought we were going to have a season in the fall.
Yeah.
But we were training, like we had a season, and then one of our teammates ended up getting COVID. And then because of the like exposure that happens, and I was quarantined in my dorm room with one of my teammates for 14 days.
Oh,
in a dorm room. And we had only known each other. We'd only lived in that dorm for a couple, like a week or two. So we really didn't even know each other. And now we're like 2 weeks in this room together.
Are you now best friends with that person?
Yeah, I still live with her. Yeah.
Okay, I figured that kind of experience only breeds that sort of product. So.
Yeah, it was interesting for sure, and it was like we got some money on per diem and could DoorDash because the dining halls weren't open.
Yeah.
So we were DoorDashing every meal, barely seeing the sun, like binge watching all the movies you could think of, and I was like, "This is college?" Like,
you're like, "Damn, this is super healthy."
I'm like, D1 athlete? What?
Yeah. Yeah, door dashing, binge watching Netflix, and not seeing the sun. That's really, that creates high level volleyball right there. High level humans. I want to go back quickly, and I do have a confession to make. So my wife's family's from Nebraska.
Okay. And
I am, as I've gotten into the volleyball world, I decided to run with the big dog, right?
That's cool.
I'm a Nebraska volleyball fan.
Yeah.
Fan of the Hawks too.
Are you serious?
Want you guys to do well. People know this, Grant. I've admitted this on the podcast before. Can't stand their football program. Don't want any of their other programs to do well, but I do cheer for Nebraska. They're extremely fun to watch. They're obviously incredible. I'm curious in like, as we shift over to even more volleyball talk here, in your eyes, what is the gap between programs like them, Louisville, Stanford, Minnesota, some, you know, and a team like you guys, who's still trying to figure it out. Obviously there's the consistency and the stability of their program. When you're changing out coaches and you got a bunch of transfers and all this stuff, that doesn't help. Right. Yeah. But past that, on the court, what makes those teams so good versus teams who are just a step behind?
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. Chicken lips are the most beloved food in Iowa City. And if you don't know what a chicken lip is, you're really missing out. Our second passion is pizza. We're hell-bent on making great pizza. Yeah, you can get cheap pizza anywhere. But if you're a real pizza aficionado, you gotta try our meatball pizza. It's made with a natural starter. And like sourdough bread, it's soft and crispy and light as air. And the third thing that we're wildly and passionately in love with is great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
I mean, for me, when I look at all the teams that are in like the Elite Eight and the Final Four and all like the Louisville's and the Nebraska is like, I feel like the thing that sets them apart, like they have the big hitters.
Yeah.
But like, so do we. But I think the biggest thing is just like the defense and serving service Eve game. Cause like I can set the perfect ball all I want, but it depends on, are we rallying? Like when Maddie Kubik's hitting a ball at me, am I able to dig it up and transition out of it? But I mean, that's the biggest thing that I think I notice is the rallies are always longer and everything's just a little bit more powerful and a little bit faster. And if it's not faster, then it's harder. Like if you're running a slower offense, then they're just hitting a little bit harder and a little bit higher, like over the block. So I think that's the biggest thing. I think that that's the hardest part is every team has great hitters.
Yeah.
But it comes down to defense, not only backcourt, but like blocking.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. There's some teams that have just absolute towers. It's like impossible to get over. Texas, Minnesota as of late, of the last couple of years, it's just like, where am I supposed to put this? Because they can put their faces are above the net. It's just,
It was like my sophomore year. It was Dana Retke and, Anna Smrek. So like 6'8", 6'9" blocking my freshman outside. And I was where am I supposed to go?
Yeah.
Like it was the craziest thing.
There's no place for me to set this. That's going to give us an advantage.
Well, it's crazy. Cause it's like the fact that that's what you're up against, but it's also like, it's cool being in the Big Ten because I love getting to say that like I played against Dana Retke and now she's on the team. So it does have its perks, even though it's not fun sometimes.
The defense is noticeable, like specifically Nebraska. They're so scrappy. Nothing touches the ground. It's
especially when you got Lexi Rodriguez. Like
Lexi's insane.
Yeah. They have a freshman who she was committed to Minnesota and now she's at Nebraska. Her name's Lainey.
Yeah.
I met her a couple years ago and I'm good friends with her and she is unreal. Like the two of them. Oh man.
They're really fun to watch. Stiverins was like my favorite to watch over the past, unbelievable. Like they're just so good. We got to actually go last year to a game, Ohio State at Nebraska, sold out.
What a game.
Oh my God. Five sets. It was so sick. we had, I don't know, my in-laws had some connection and we sat like fourth row. And so for me, you all are like tall women, right?
Yeah.
Generally, like you're 5'9".
Yeah, my tallest teammate's 6'7".
Right, and like you're
5'9"'s like really tall though.
For a normal human, But
yeah, for a normal person.
But on a volleyball court in Division One, it's like she's the short girl, right?
Yeah, I'm very short. Like, it was hard for me to get recruited short.
Yeah, and I'm 5'10", so I, like, you know, we're the same. Yeah. And so we go down on the floor and, like, we sit down for warmups, and they run out. And I was used to, like, being the short guy in the Division One football locker room.
Yeah.
But, like, I had been away from it for, you know, like I said, 28. I'm out of the game now for 5-6 years. And they ran out, and I was like, holy shit. Like, they're so big. Yeah. It's just athletes. It's so crazy. And so I, from a fan perspective, I share that sentiment of, like, it is so cool to see the best of the best play. And for you to be able to, like, then be on the court with them and play against them, it's like, first of all, it elevates your guys' game too, right? Because it's like, hell yeah, give us the best and, like, let's go attack it. And it only makes everybody else better. The Big Ten is crazy.
Yeah.
You guys obviously have to run that gauntlet. What is that like mentally, going through struggles back to back? You know, you're playing Minnesota, Ohio State, Penn State, Nebraska. Like, what does that look like during the season mentally, like having to regroup? It's not like football where you have a whole week. It could be like you play, you know, in 2 days or 3 days. And it's like, how do you guys approach that game to game?
Yeah. I mean, for us, usually the way that it works is we'll be at Minnesota, we'll finish the game, we'll shower, hop on a plane, and then fly to our next place. And then we play the next day. Like, our schedule is super crazy. And I think that something that Jim really emphasized a lot last season is, like, there are no days off. Like, every single, whether it's a team that we think we can beat or that we think might demolish us, like, whatever it is, like, every single match is a battle.
Yeah.
And I think it's so cool that that's the case, because we could walk into a team and be like, oh, like, we beat them last year, but you just have no idea what you're going to see, because it's the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to kind of keep a consistent mindset, especially because we have teams who are powerhouses, not just in the Big Ten, but in the country.
Right.
Like, when you think of college volleyball, Nebraska and Wisconsin are going to come up. Penn State, like, Ohio State, like, those are going to be mentioned.
Minnesota.
The Big Ten. Yeah. Minnesota. Like, it just, you can keep going.
It's so, I think last year at one point there was like 7 Big Ten teams in the top 21 teams.
Yeah, well, I mean, 2 years ago, it was a Big Ten national championship.
Right, yeah.
Like, it's really, really great, and it's really cool to be in that environment, but it is a lot, especially when you're towards the bottom like us.
Mm-hmm.
Find motivation, because it's like, the top 7 teams in our conference make it to the tournament, where in other conferences, it's like the top 2 will go.
Right.
So yeah. It's definitely a different mindset, and it's really hard to adjust to. But I mean, for me, it's just, now that I've been here for 3 years, I've seen the teams, I've played them all. Like, it's just every single day is a new match. Like, you don't know who you're going to see. So
it's a trial by fire a little bit. You either, and maybe this contributes to the attrition or not, but like, if you have a girl come in who is like, Hawkeye volleyball, sick, Big Ten, and then they get in and they're like, oh shit, like, I'm not ready for this day in and day out. It, like, could weed people out of a program. Like, that's the kind of thing that's like, you're not ready to handle this. Like, you just aren't. Like, you were the big dog in high school, like everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, okay, congrats. Like, welcome to the show. And it's so hard to manage that, that schedule, those teams that you play. Not like, if you were just playing volleyball, that would be hard, but then you throw on top of it that you're expected to be a student as well, right? You're a student, you're a student athlete, right? Mm-hmm. Athletic student is what I like to go by. fulfilling all those Kara hours that you guys have, which always get broken. But it's just like, it's so impressive. And it really is hard to dig out of the bottom of the Big Ten teams when it's like, you know, you have to catch some momentum somewhere. So it sounds like, you know, you're entering year 2 or 3 with the new coach.
This will be year 2.
This is just the second season. So I have to imagine that, like, and by all means, you guys like the new coach, big fan.
Yeah, we love him. He's really experienced as a head coach. So before he was at Baylor, mm-hmm. and he just has a lot of years under his belt, and he's really organized, and it's very easy to follow what he's telling us to do. And he's also just, he's one of those coaches where he's not just focused on volleyball. And I feel like it can be hard to find that. And some people think it's a bad thing, but I love that he will text me and be like, "Hey, like, how's school going?" Or, "Hey, how are these other organizations I'm involved in? How's that stuff going?" Like, he's just very involved in us as people. And I think that that's helped us be better on the volleyball court, because he doesn't just look at us as volleyball players and our worth isn't tied into volleyball. And I think that's rare, but getting better as the years go on.
Yeah, it's big. I think that's a large part of why me and my teammates and other Hawkeye football players throughout the years have really taken to Coach Ferentz. He's like the king of that. Somehow in a program of, you know, you guys have 17 players, there's 117 football players. And he somehow manages those relationships with all of his guys. It's crazy. It's why he has the longevity that he does and why he's so well respected. And I think that the ability to, there's a mental health and like mental energy component of being a performer in any realm, right? And if you get so down the rabbit hole of this is my identity, you will just crash and burn. And to have a coach that will manage that by caring about your personal life and the other things that you're interested in, and really you as a human past once your volleyball career is done, allows you to sort of in the moment and while you're in the volleyball, like de-stress, not worry about it so much, which probably I would argue elicits better play and more buy into the program, and the energy that you do give to volleyball ends up being better. So that's good to hear. I don't want to bring up controversy, but I thought Bon Szymanski was a good dude.
When I committed, I committed to Bond.
He was awesome. He talked to one of our classes when I was like a junior or senior back in 16, 17. And I don't remember the exact whole thing about him having to leave or getting forced out, but I think it was because he was being a good dude, kind of. And it's unfortunate, but like he seemed like he had the program kind of going in the right direction as well. So from an outside perspective, hopefully there's established some a little bit more of that continuity and you guys can gain some more momentum this year. Your coach now, like you said, texts you about other stuff. He clearly trusts and has given you a lot of respect individually inside the program. Because as I prepped for this podcast, which was basically just an like 45 minutes of me creeping on your Instagram, which felt really, really weird. You're chosen to go to Big Ten Media Days.
Yeah, I got chosen to go to Media Day this year with Delaney.
And that's
with my 6'7" teammate.
Yeah. She's a little built different than you. Are you tripping on that? Like, is that, that's cool. That's like an honor.
Yeah, it's really cool. Jim does, one of the first things that he always says whenever we get our team together for the first time is his biggest thing he's going to do is brag on you. And he really follows through with that. Like whenever anyone on the team gets some sort of recognition or does something like extraordinary, he'll always send it in the team group chat. Mm. And he's just really, he's really great at stuff like that. Again, like caring more about just like, not just volleyball.
Yeah.
So yeah, he ended up reaching out to Delaney and I, and he's like, "You guys want to come to Media Day with us?" And we were like, "Yeah, absolutely." And it's so cool that the Big Ten even does a volleyball Media Day. We're the only conference that does it. And it's the
second. Oh, really?
Yeah, no other conference. The first ever Big Ten Volleyball Media Day was last year.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Oh, so we are moving up.
Yeah.
Come on now. That's good. I like to see. I again, biased. I've gotten into it the last 3 years, but like good volleyball, like the, especially like the tournament when it comes down to the, like the postseason, is absolutely electric. I don't know how it's not more popular. It's unbelievable. And you got to go. I saw on your Instagram.
Yeah. I actually ended up So at the American Volleyball Coaches Association, they have a convention every year around the Final Four and the championship.
Yeah.
And I was able, I want to be a coach. So I was able to apply to be a demonstrator for the drills they run at the convention. So because of that, I got to go to the convention and I also got to go to the Final Four and championship games.
Damn.
Yeah. And then I'll also hopefully, if they accept me again this year, we'll be doing that again this December in Tampa.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I was curious what your goals were moving forward past volleyball. You hosted the Golden Herkies.
I did for the past 2 years.
And you,
what?
And you spoke in front of the athletic department at some point, like within the last, and you have done all this other stuff. So I had, I had like this inkling like, oh, she might want to be, and you asked to be on our podcast. I'm like, I think she's going to like be a reporter. I think she wants to be a reporter, or she wants to be like be on Big Ten, like calling games or something. I like, so I was curious what you, what your plans or aspirations were after, but you want to be a coach.
Yeah. My, so of course my plan afterwards is to play pro ball.
Sure.
I would prefer to go overseas for as many years as they'll have me and just travel and explore.
Yeah.
And then they have, now starting this next year, they'll have 3 United States pro volleyball teams.
Yep.
So hoping I can also come back and play some pro ball in the US, and then hoping to coach. But that, I mean, that's what I would love to do. That's my hope. I'd love to be, my end goal is to be like a head coach of a Division I Power 5 school.
So in college.
Yeah. Preferably. That's why why I went to the convention, just talking to a bunch of college coaches and getting insight and hearing how their experience is. But I'm also, I'm one of those people where I'm not going to close a door. So I would be up for anything. I'd love to call Big Ten games. I would be down for anything. I want to be in the volleyball world. I think that it's growing rapidly. Like, I don't know if you saw, but the championship this year will be on ABC.
I saw that.
We're going to be on ESPN. So that's huge. And this past season, our game versus Purdue was the 7th collegiate women's volleyball game in history to be on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, the fact that it's only 7, like we're in the single digits.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I love the trajectory that women's volleyball is taking. So I would love to just be a part of growing that.
Yeah. I saw at another, like, I don't know, like you must be pretty good with a microphone in your hand. If you got, like, how did you get picked to host the Golden Herkies?
So for Golden Herkies, I'm involved in ISAC here. So the Student Athlete Advisory. Yep. And yeah, they were looking for some hosts since COVID had happened and they hadn't really done the full award show.
Yeah.
And on Iowa Volleyball, I do a bunch of tiny mic stuff and like interview my teammates.
Saw that too.
Yeah. So, they needed hosts and I thought I would try it and I ended up loving it and have been really involved with the show the past 2 years. And yeah.
You prepare some jokes? Did you have people help you write some stuff or?
So yeah, I write my own script for both the shows, but essentially so I co-hosted it with a soccer player. Mm-hmm. And essentially I was like the dad joke, laugh at myself kind of host. And she was the like, please shut up. You're not funny host. Our bits. We
good
played
cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I had some good dad jokes.
What's one, like, give us one real quick. I'm curious. I don't get to go to Golden Herkies. I don't know what's going on.
So the Golden Herkies are, you don't know what they are, Grant.
Yeah, they don't have Golden Herkies for podcast students. They don't do that. They don't do that for us normals.
So for us normals. So the Golden Herkies are, you're right, they are for the Iowa student athletes, and they're held over at the Englert, I think, still.
It's held at Hancher now because it's bigger. So we do it at Hancher. We have like a golden carpet. It's a whole.
You guys have upgraded since, you know, I'm just old. I'm old.
I'm surprised they didn't get Kimmel for this. This sounds like a big deal.
Well, it might not be Kittle size, but basically, I think the awards are voted on within the student athlete community.
Yeah. So essentially each team will nominate someone for each award and then ISAC will sit down, narrow it down to 5 nominees. And then the whole student athletes administration, coaches, everyone will vote on the legit winner. And then they'll be announced that night.
Yeah. So it's like an imitation of the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
And you're like encouraged to dress up and like there's a best dressed award, I think, still. Yeah. Which I participated in my senior year. And it's fun. It's like a good, it's just, you know, like all of the student, all of the athletic programs come together and do like a couple things every year. One of them is like horrible. It's right before like the first week of classes. And you sit like in, I don't know if they still have you go to like McBride Hall and you have to listen to like the ethics meeting and all that stuff. You haven't done that? Probably. Well, I mean,
we don't do it with like all the athletic programs. Like
really?
I mean, there's something for freshmen called Summer Bridge, but that's.
Oh, you got out of it then. They used to bring football, baseball, everybody into one of those four big, I think it was McBride on the Pentecrest, and sit in one of those big 400, 500 seat auditoriums. And Barta would get up there and a couple other people would get up there and they'd talk about like this beginning of the year, like what our goals are for the athletic department and like how we want to represent the universe. It was, you know, just cheesy shit. It was horrible. And every athlete absolutely hated it. It was awful, like so bad. Anyway, I'm glad you guys got out of that.
What's your other joke though?
The point, I will warn you, they're bad jokes. Like they're bad dad jokes. So you gotta roll with
it. It can be so bad, it's good though.
What is a DJ's favorite pasta sauce?
That's it. I feel like something with ravioli is coming up.
It's like marinara. You get it?
Ah, there we go. Okay. Right.
I did that one. And then the one I did was like, what is a DJ name his first kid? And it was like, Eric. And then, yeah, that got the crowd going.
Okay.
There repetitive go. Comedy. Right. Pride of Davenport.
Yep. Davenport, Iowa.
Are you like you go back and they have parades for you? They build a statue or?
No. Maybe if I would have gone to a different school in Davenport. Do you know a lot about the Davenport area?
I know Davenport Assumption.
Exactly. So Davenport Assumption is by far the like most well-known Davenport school.
Okay.
I mean, it's produced a lot of amazing athletes.
Sure. Gervas is my buddy. So
yeah. Gervas is from there. Oh my gosh, why am I blanking on her name? Carly King, who's running track at Duke, is from there. Mm. They just produce athletes like time after time. So a lot of people assume I'm from Assumption. So when I say, oh, I'm from Davenport, like, oh, you went to Assumption? Like, no. I actually went to Davenport North, which is a public school.
Oh, you went to Davenport North.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so there's North, West, and Central, and I went to North. And
is it Assumption a private school? Yes. Catholic school?
Yep.
Mm, okay, so they recruit everybody.
Well, the other weird thing about Assumption is so in the MAC conference,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure all of the schools besides North Scott are all 5A. Mm-hmm. So Assumption all year will play against 5A schools. And then when it comes to state time, they drop to like 3A.
What?
Yeah. So then they end up winning state and blowing people out of the water at state, but they play against 5A big schools.
I don't understand. I mean, I guess schools do get to choose their own scheduling, but wouldn't they have to play at least their conference games during the year? But then they just schedule non-conference against bigger classes.
No, they're in the conference is big classes. Like the MAC conference is filled with basically all 5A schools, and then Assumption is a small.
I don't know. That sounds like cheating to me.
Well,
I'm going to have to give Gervas shit for that one.
Well, I don't know if it's cheating, but it's just they continuously like demolish state every year.
Yeah.
And they're playing against 5A schools. Like they're playing against big, great competition all the time. But that doesn't, it's weird because I think that if Assumption was in 5A, they'd still win state. Like they're great, but it's just crazy that they drop.
Yeah. So. I just got back from Nationals. I saw that your team won the national division your last year at club.
Yeah, my 17th year. We won 17 national.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it was fun. Essentially what that team was Jeff Meeker. He's at Cornell right now.
Okay.
He essentially went around and tried to like build this powerhouse team. And so one of the girls was actually, she's on my team still. She's our libero, Sydney Dennis. She was on that team. We had Keisha Brown, who was initially committed to Mississippi State, came here. Now she's at New Mexico. Then Aaliyah Carter, who's at K-State. Riley Faye, who's at Oklahoma. Like, we had Delaney Rice at St. Louis. Like, it just keeps going. So we just stacked this team and then ended up winning nationals.
Why were you? Why didn't we play in the open division? We didn't get a bid to that, or what?
We didn't get an open bid, no.
Come on.
I know. It was crazy, but
you guys weren't like a club. It was more of a one-off, like one-year kind of deal where you put the team together.
At the time, it was a club, so it was an Iowa Extreme, but it was like we had two teams in the club. So we had our team and then an 18s team.
Okay.
And so we would just play each other, and that was really it. And then after that year, he essentially like shut the club down and was like, because he also coaches at Cornell.
Okay.
He was like, I can't do all, like, it was just a lot for him. And I mean, going out with a bang, winning nationals, it was worked out.
Yeah, pretty good thing to end on. I keep telling my wife, I'm like, we're just going to open a club and get rich.
My dream used to be to open a club.
I was going to say, when you said you wanted to be a coach, I was like, well, maybe she wants to like open a club and like coach club teams. Cause that if you're part of like ownership of the club or like head coach of a bigger club, you could definitely make a living doing.
Oh yeah. I coach at Iowa Select in Davenport. Mm-hmm. And Frank Flanagan, who's the club director, he actually was the Assumption volleyball head coach this past season.
Of course
But all that he does is he's just the club director and coaches, and he is very busy. Like, he fills his time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, there's like, I mean, in Des Moines, there's like six or seven clubs. And like every girl in the area is trying out for every club. And it's like so much money to try out for every club. And then once you make a team, it's this much money. And I just like, my wife was going down all of the finance. Well, one, we have a daughter now. I have a 6-month old daughter. So like, this is her future probably. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, okay, well, we're going to be broke because of volleyball. But like
traveling to qualifiers.
Oh my God. Like Chicago, we were just in Chicago for 5 days. The hotel was like over $1,000 for the 1 week. That doesn't include the six or seven tournaments that you play during the season. It's like, okay, well.
It's crazy. It's wild. Yeah, it's very, very expensive.
How early did you play club all the way since you were little?
No, so I actually grew up playing basketball.
Okay.
And then around like middle school, like 7th and 8th grade, like school ball. Mm-hmm. And then in 8th grade was my first year of club, but it wasn't, I was on like the C team.
Wow.
We went to no qualifiers. That was my first year really playing volleyball. It was 8th grade. Cause
wow.
I don't really count school ball.
You're a success story.
Sure.
Well, you're playing Division 1 after only having, I mean, legitimately like 4 years to develop into a Division 1 player.
Yeah. Well, I will say, I think that was one of the things that I guess like sold myself on, is I still have a much higher ceiling because I'm so new to the game.
Sure.
So I'd been playing basketball for 12 years and I was like, I feel like I'm hitting my plateau.
Yeah.
And so it kind of worked out that I found volleyball. And then
you weren't going to be Caitlin Clark.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
Of course, nobody really is, but,
but my 15s year, I ended up playing at Select and Frank was my coach and we ended up getting a bid to nationals that year. Mm-hmm. And that was my first year really like setting and playing legit volleyball, going to qualifiers. And then after that started my volleyball journey.
You're like, I'm going to do this. This sounds like something I could do.
Yeah. It was new and it's crazy because there's so many aspects of volleyball that relate to basketball.
Yeah.
So it was new and it was fun and it was right up my alley. I love the IQ that comes with being a setter. So it was just perfect for me.
I have that down as one of my, notes here is like the setter is sort of the quarterback of the court. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you feel like you thrive in? Like you were kind of built for that and something that you enjoy?
Yeah, I think it's taken me a long time to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think that as a setter, it's very easy to not like it. And I still have faith. Like literally today opened him like, oh, I want to be a setter. I wish I could be a setter. I'm like, go ahead. Like it's a lot, but I love the IQ behind it. And I love, I guess kind of for you, like when you first start watching volleyball, you don't really realize how much the setter does.
No, the setter is so underrated, right? It's Because everybody wants to be the killer, right? They just want to spike volleyballs. Like from an outside, if you don't know anything about volleyball, you're like, I want to be that person who jumps on the outside and smashes people in the face.
I mean, I still want to be that person.
Everybody wants to be that person.
I don't blame you.
Right. But it's like, not like that's not necessarily like the most important person here. Like this is and my wife is always like, yep, we're going to have a little setter. We're going to have a left-handed setter. We're going to make her be left-handed. Oh.
I wish I was a lefty.
I know. So that's our goal. So we're, you know, she's 6 months old and we're training her to be a left-handed setter already. But no, it's like you have like a lot, you have a lot riding on you. It's like stressful.
Yeah. It's definitely stressful, especially when you're at a younger age. Like I have so many girls come up to me cause it's the easiest person to blame on the floor.
Yep.
Like if anything goes wrong, it's the setter because like, especially at this level for me, obviously I don't take as much blame at this level, but sure. I'm calling the plays. I'm the one like telling people what routes to like, it's crazy. Like I have my coach's help, but now again, at this level, I take the reins myself and it's a lot of pressure. So for younger girls, like it's almost hard to produce setters because no one wants to be that person that gets the finger pointed at after every point you lose. So
it's really tough. Yeah. It's really tough to, because, okay. So for those listening, again, we have a lot of football. If you're still listening at this point, we have a lot of football fans here. The setter is going to be basically you get three touches max on a, when the ball comes to your side of the volleyball court, the setter is the second one of those. Ideally, you're going to have somebody who, receives the ball from the other team. They're going to pass it ideally to the setter. Hopefully Bailey here isn't running all over hell to go find the second touch. And then she has to set up the big tall girls who smash people in the face. Mm-hmm. So Bailey not only has to work off of the first pass, but then she has to orient and adjust and place the ball in the right spot as the second passer. And it's just like a lot. It's a lot.
Oh, and even at this level, like then it gets to the point where it's like, not as I'm going to track the ball and figuring out what my hitters are calling, what are the blockers on the other side of the net doing? And I'm seeing that in my peripheral wall. Like it is the craziest thing. Yep. And I just being a setter, like watching other setters or just like at this level, once you learn the beauty of setting, it's hard not to just watch it and love it.
It's like art. It is.
Yes, it is. It's the coolest thing, especially when you have like really offensive setters. Mm. So when setters are in the front row, like a lefty, like it's so cool to watch. And I mean, being in the Big Ten, I'm surrounded by, in my opinion, some of the best setters in the country.
How good does it feel to every once in a while hit that dump and it just like falls in the middle of nowhere?
Let me give you a great story. Last season. So we were playing Michigan at home.
Mm-hmm.
That season, we lost the first set 25-7.
Oh no.
This was our last game at home.
That's really bad. Like they might be able to put me on the court and we could still get seven.
It was really bad. And we ended up reverse sweeping them and beating Michigan for the first time since 2010.
Okay. I remember this. I didn't know that you lost the first set 25-7, but holy smokes.
Had us worried for no reason.
Sorry. But anyways, it was the fourth set and we were up 25-24. So it was like, if we win this point, we're going to a fifth set. And if we lose this point, now we're tied.
Mm-hmm.
And my coach's rule for me, cause I try to be offensive. So I like to dump when I can.
Yeah.
And
side note, I've played sand volleyball and I dump 50% of the time.
It's so fun.
Solid.
And his rule for the most part for me tends to be when we get in the 20s, don't dump it.
Mm.
So on this point, we get the dig and I just toss it over and you can see him on the sideline, like tensing up, ready to just, and the ball drops and we win and we go into the fifth set and we beat him. And that was one of like, we'll forever remember that in my college career. Cause it was like, it was just in the moment. I was like, I know it's there. I can see it. And I just dumped it. And
feels so good.
Oh, it felt so good.
Cause it's like when you dump, you're not doing a lot of work, right? Like physically, it's more the the not doing work that is the work. It just feels so good. I know nobody listening, most people listening don't understand it, but it's like basically Bailey's being sneaky. She like goes up like she's going to set one of the hitters, and then she just puts it over the net herself.
Especially when it's a tight pass and you can like legit throw it down.
Yeah. Oh man. And you have to break your tendencies, right? You can't always just follow that pass 20 rule. You know, That's what I would have told coach. Been like, hey, they weren't ready for it. Clearly they didn't know what was coming.
Yeah. And earlier in the game, like since we had won the set before, there had already been a couple times where I had done it and it had worked. So I was like, oh, they probably aren't expecting it. But then it was funny because the minute the ball hit, I look over and the coach is like, we scouted that. We knew she.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
You're like Michael Jordan shrug. You got the, what did you speak to the athletic department about?
So at the all staff meetings, they have them like once a month or once every now. They usually just bring an athlete in and have them speak on their experience at Iowa and I mean, good or bad. And yeah, so I went in and spoke on what I had experienced at Iowa as a volleyball player. And yeah.
Cool. Were you nervous to do that?
Yeah.
Or do you thrive in this role of like being on camera, being in front of people talking, stuff like that?
I mean, I definitely thrive. I think I was nervous because my story with Iowa volleyball is not the prettiest.
Sure.
And not normal. So I think I was nervous because I'm sitting in front of all the administrators and coaches and like people who work in the athletic department. And I'm essentially telling them how imperfect my career had been.
Yeah.
I'd still loved it, but it was a weird thing to talk about in front of them. So
yeah, I think more often than not, you realize once, as you get older, like that most people's stories or journeys through whatever they go through are like that. Right. Rarely are you going to find the person who steps up and it's like, yeah, for the last 5 years, I've lived a fairy tale. There hasn't been a single bump in the road. But when it is you stepping up in front of like adults, right. You're like, shit, I hope I don't piss people off here. You know,
you just don't know how people are going to take your experiences and how you feel about them. But right. At the end of the day, it's like, it's how I feel. So it's not going to change.
Yeah, that's cool. And then you were awarded the sportsmanship award.
Yeah.
Are you a great sport? Are you out there? Like whenever the other team's like winning, you're just like, great job, guys.
Definitely not that.
Okay. How do you win that? How do you get that?
So their description of the award has to do with something like grades and the community and whatever. But something that I pride myself on is I like to make friends with the people that we play because we see each other all the time. Like there's girls that I've played against for the past 3-4 years. And
yeah, and you see like people that you saw in club tournaments all the time too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I personally make it a thing for me after every single match, because usually there's parents there or like there's a bus or something.
Yeah.
I always make sure to go to the bus or to the stands of the parents where the players are or to the coaches and just tell them great game. I mean, win or lose. I always try to make that a priority for me because I've made some great friends out of it. I've made some great connections out of it. And yeah, I didn't even know the sportsmanship award was a thing when I first won it. It's just something I always wanted to do. I like talking to people.
Yeah.
So it was a way to meet people and just understand that like you may have beat me or I may have beat you, but like we're both here doing the same thing and we're going to see each other in the next 4 years. So why have bad blood? Like, let's just.
What a novel concept. I think I should probably be taking notes because that was not me. I was talking shit to everybody I could talk shit to.
Well, it's not that I don't do that stuff. It's just then when we're off the court at the end of the game, it's like an You're easy right. thing to just say, yeah, like the game happened. Like,
right. I understand.
Like, I said this on the court, but now it's over. And
yeah.
So for me, like the volleyball world is so tiny.
Yeah.
And since I want to stay in the volleyball world, it's like, for example, the Ohio State head coach, one of my favorite coaches. She's amazing. I love what she's done. Program. I love her. I love that she's a female head coach and she's so just like, I love everything about her.
Yep.
And even just me going up to her after games, hey, great game, coach. Like, I have that connection now into my coaching realm, like just little things like that.
Definitely smart for you moving forward, no doubt.
And it never started that way, and it happened to work out that way, and now I have these connections, and yeah,
keep doing that. Don't don't be an asshole like I was. Tell me about the NIL summit.
Oh my gosh, it was so stressful. There was so much that was going on, but it was so much fun. It was cool to meet athletes that are, I guess, wanting similar things. Like it was a room of like-minded people that all want to use our platforms as student athletes for good.
Yeah.
And
where was it?
It was in Atlanta, Georgia. It was at the College Football Hall of Fame.
Oh man. And yeah, so, did you have to be invited to this, or you just, if you wanted to go, you could go?
Yeah, that's how it was for Iowa. So for some people, because the first night you get there, there's an award show. So it's NIL awards. So if you're nominated for an award, then of course you get invited. So like Caitlin Clark was nominated for Scholar Athlete of the Year.
Right.
But she wasn't able to go because she was running her Caitlin Clark camp here.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But me and then a soccer player, Jalen Mosley, essentially they sent out, I mean, Iowa Athletic Department sent out a massive thing. It was like, if you want to go, apply here. And then the athletic department chose two people from all the applications to go. And I got chosen and got to go.
Damn. You're killing it.
Yeah, it was crazy because I went from the NIL summit in Atlanta to San Diego for a sport consulting practicum class. And then from San Diego to Colorado for a Team USA sport consulting class and then back. So I was, for 3.5 weeks, I was all over the country.
Does that make you feel, that has to make you feel like I'm really living life. Like I'm doing it right now, you know?
Oh yeah. In the moment, it was so cool. I mean, my bank account was not happy.
No. Yeah. I can imagine. But, Yeah.
But again, I love talking to people and connecting and meeting people. So that was the best part for me, is I was all over the country just meeting and talking with people.
Yeah.
And about things that I liked and that I enjoy.
That's
so
fun.
It was really cool.
Grant, you got any extra questions for Bailey here? I don't want to take too much.
I got a bunch. So kind of backtracking a little bit. So I was informed that like trash talk under the net in volleyball is illegal. Like they might throw you in the penalty box for talking a little trash under the net. Is this true?
I don't know, but Nicklin Haynes does a awesome amount of it, and I love watching it. Or I loved watching it.
So no. So we got nothing to be mad at.
She's unreal. There's trash talk. I mean, there's not like, you're never going to see Grant like some girl step up and like be like through the net, like spitting in another girl's face. But like under your breath, like as you turn around and celebrate, there's definitely stuff being said. Like,
Yeah, there's for sure stuff that gets said. Depending on the team, it can be a little bit more intense, I guess, depending on the game.
Get real personal, start talking about their family.
Maybe not that.
Oh,
that's
okay.
The student section. The student sections do that. But
yeah, the student sections go crazy.
Yeah.
Who is the meanest student section?
In conference?
Anywhere.
Give us the dirt.
So I don't want to say it was a bad experience, but we played at Air Force and they packed the stands.
Wow.
It was so fun. We ended up taking them to 5. We lost in 5. It was a tough game. But they pulled up my Instagram and were like yelling my current boyfriend's name at me.
Oh yeah, that's the classic move.
Oh, right, it's crazy. And they were like, "Oh, how was this trip? How's your mom, Shelly?" Like while I was serving. But I'm one of those people where I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, thank you for taking the time to look me up.
Yeah.
Like, it's like feed my ego.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, give me a follow while you're there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I like a photo or two while you're like at it. But so, yeah, I love that stuff.
Hey, at least you're not Wisconsin, right? Be tough to be them, huh?
Yeah. But
they're not going to escape that for like 10 or 15 years.
Yeah. But they handle it so well. Like,
well, yeah, when you're that good, it's just like, yeah.
Yeah, they handled it so well. Like those girls handled it so well. Like, yeah. But I would, speaking of Wisconsin, Wisconsin was a tough place to play at. It is a tough place to play at. Like,
they're rowdy.
I've had some stuff said to me serving, and yeah.
Really?
So Wisconsin, and then Nebraska's tough, but like they're not, I mean, they can be mean, but it's a lot less personal and more like at Iowa volleyball kind of stuff. Okay. So yeah, that's
like, it's a little more respectable.
Yeah, a little bit, but it's less like personal names and more just Iowa stuff in general. But,
Nebraska and Iowa is just the rivalry. It just is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, but I will say it's getting Purdue student section. They're getting bigger and louder, and wow. So it's crazy to play at Purdue too. Purdue's getting up there.
Cool.
Hey, well, I'm about to write down some stuff for this year. I'm about to prepare. anyone who steps into Extreme Arena is going to hear from me.
Yeah. Have your research. Yeah, I love it. Yeah,
for sure. How do you guys view, I'm curious, is there like, playing indoors, do you guys like look down upon sand volleyball players?
No.
So, like that's not real
volleyball. No, dude, sand's so sick.
I think it's cool, but I don't know.
I think we honestly put, or at least I do, like I put it above indoor because beach is so hard.
Yeah.
And like, not even from the fact that they're in sand and jumping in sand, but especially when it comes to doubles, like you have that whole court of sand. So now you're reading, you're like, your shots are like super specific and
it's a different game.
It's a whole different game. And there's so much more, I don't want to say more, but in my opinion, there's so much more mental to it, especially when you're playing a game of doubles.
I love the setup too of like ones, twos, threes, fours and fives. Yeah, it's so fun to watch, like UCLA and USC and those. It's really fun to watch sand. And playing outside is like, you know, you might be dealing with a breeze or some wind, and it's like,
absolutely.
It's pretty dope. And
the volleyball is light enough to where like it can be moved by the wind.
Oh, yeah.
I have so much respect for people who play beach. Like, I wish I was good at beach, and I'm not.
No. No, I used to love for years, like every 4 years I get real excited for sand volleyball, get like Kerry Walsh Jennings out there, like Misty May Trainer. Like I would get so fired up. I had no clue what was going on, but
I think I think they like just retired or they're still doing it. Even
they got to be done by now. They played forever.
Kerry Walsh, she actually just, I don't know like the exact terminology, but a pro volleyball team, like an indoor team, opened up in San Diego, and it's Kerry Walsh's team.
Yeah,
that's so, sounds it.
Yeah, so she's really, really involved in.
Is it like the Browns? Did she name it after herself?
Yeah.
I don't think it has a name yet. I know that there's a team in San Diego and it is with her. So I know she's doing a lot of like publicity and like interviews and stuff for that pro. Okay.
That's cool. Shoot,
I got to get a jersey. I'm all in. Yeah. So then I'm curious too. So you talk a lot about wanting to be a coach as well. Who are some coaches, and you can go cross sport too, like if it's outside of volleyball as well, that you kind of would like to emulate?
Well, I mean, in volleyball, I said, Jennifer, I don't know her full name. I call her JFO because that's just what people call her, but I think it's like Jennifer Flynn Oldenburg at Ohio State. I love her. Again, I already talked about her. I love the Louisville coach, Danny.
She's technically my cousin.
Are you kidding me?
Really?
She's not my cousin, but my wife, she's like her second cousin. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Like at family reunions kind of thing.
Yeah.
Danny's cool.
Yeah. When I was at the All-American, so when I was at the convention, I got to attend the All-American banquet, obviously not as an All-American, but just as a demonstrator that was there.
Sure.
And she walked past me, like behind me, and I was literally sitting here like, I love her.
She's legit.
I love that she brought, like, 5 years ago, you would have never heard Louisville volleyball. I'm like, whoa. Like, she took that program, exactly what we're trying, what every program's trying to do. Like, right. She did that.
I know.
So it's one of those things with the Ohio State coach and with her, like you can see on the player's face how they feel about playing for that coach.
Yeah.
And that's what I love the most about it is I can watch those players play and I'm like, I can see the kind of coach you are through your players and how they play for each other and for you. And I just love that about them. And outside of volleyball, that's how I feel about Lisa Bluder. I am forever like, and I shouldn't even say Lisa Bluder, like Lisa, Jan, Raina, all of them.
They're badass.
Oh my gosh, I love them. I honestly love the women's basketball team in general. Like their whole, before they had this big historic run, like I love them the whole time. That was my dream when I was a kid, is to play women's basketball here.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love her. And also just being in Iowa, there's a lot of women's head coaches here. So yeah. Lisa Salucci with field hockey, Sasha Schmid with tennis, or like Clarissa Chun with women's wrestling.
She's a badass too.
Yeah. So I actually, wrestling and volleyball share like an office space. Well, I should say like a common area of an office, and then it splits. But when Clarissa got hired, she didn't have any like current athletes to give tours to her recruits she was bringing on campus. So I worked with Clarissa and would give all of the recruits for the women's wrestling team tours around campus and of the dorms. So I got to know her, and she is just like a powerhouse.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to be here with so many like women head coaches.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else, Grant? Should we wrap this up?
Yeah, no, well, this might be a good way to wrap it up. I just wanted to give you a chance, or maybe like like whatever you want to say, just to sell people to go to games. Like I know I'll be there at least to a few, but like pitch to the people.
I think my pitch to the people is just that Big Ten volleyball is fun to watch in general, and Iowa volleyball is a huge underdog. And I think that even if our record doesn't show as much as we want it to, I think it will, but even if it gets to the point that it doesn't, we're going to play hard and we're going to have fun. And I think that like, no matter what game you come and watch, it's going to be fun to watch, and you're going to enjoy watching Iowa volleyball because of how we play for each other and how hard we just play in general. So
the new arena is sick too.
Oh yeah. Extreme Arena is beautiful, and awesome. It's a great place to be. So all around, I think volleyball is growing, and you don't want to miss being on the train that Iowa volleyball is taking to go up.
There we go. Grant, we're going to have to get the walk-ons to a volleyball outing this year.
I'll make it out there for sure.
We can we could print like a big fat head of Bailey, like bring signs and stuff. Bailey, no,
we'll have to.
Well, actually, okay. While you're talking about being the walk-ons, that was also the reason that I reached out to you guys wanting to come on this, because I was a walk-on when I came to Iowa, and Jim.
Oh, let's go.
Full scholarship. So
let's go. Huge for a walk-on.
Yeah. So
that bank account isn't hurting as much now.
After the summer.
Yeah.
So you got that NIL summit probably helped out.
Yeah, it definitely helped. But yeah, I was a walk-on my first 2 years, and then I had actually entered the portal, and because I wasn't sure what the future held for volleyball. And then when Jim got the job, he called me and was like, I want to get you out of the portal. And he ended up finding a full scholarship for me. So
yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. But yeah, that was also what made me reach out to the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast, because being a walk-on is...
That's who we are. That's like our DNA around here. just paying for school, you know? It's like the labor of love, you know? We appreciate you coming on.
I mean, thank you for having me. I know that this is, again, branching out, but thank you for being willing to... have some volleyball content on here.
I was super stoked to talk. I mean, I think you can hopefully the fans love it. I know they will. They always love when we grab somebody from a different sport and get to hear from a non-football person, because it gets very football around here, and so when we can break it up, that's usually well received. So again, thank you for coming. Anybody who listened to this podcast, thank you for listening. Go check out Bailey and her teammates this fall in Extreme Arena, and cheer on the Hawks. And until next time, we'll see you then. Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.